going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny live on the Fan, May 12th, 2025. It is a massive DC sports day and we are honored to be out and about. We're going to be hanging out with listeners today in Bethesda. So Maryland, we are counting on you to deliver the goods tonight with a Caps win. We are at Caddy's in Bethesda. We're on Cordell. Come on by Caddy's. They've got unbelievable food. Always love hanging out here with their crew. It is a good time. And when big Caps things are happening, this is where we've been.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah. We were here when Alex Ovechkin broke the all-time goals record just over a month ago. We are back for the game of the season tonight. Caps need to get even in their best of seven series in Raleigh.
It feels imperative, doesn't it? I mean, you know, it's not an elimination game. We're aware of that, but it's got a similar feeling, maybe more gravity than did game two, where, you know, it was as lopsided an overtime loss as you're ever going to find. Game two, obviously, the Caps got off the mat. This is something that's got to happen. You need the good breaks. You need that time when you're outplaying the opponent, which they did to start this game three, to matter, that you've got a result in goals, multiple goals over the course of that game. I was watching, I took my oldest to the movies. We went and saw the Thunderbolts or the new Avengers, whatever I'm supposed to say. He'd been begging me to do it for a while. So I get back home, and I'm watching the Caps game on DVR, so I'm behind everybody. I was able to kind of isolate and not know what the score was. And as I'm watching the first 15, 20, 25-plus minutes or so unfold, them not scoring, I turned to my wife, who was hanging with our 12-week-old. I said, they're going to lose this game. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, these opportunities right now where they're better, they're not converting, it's going to come back to bite them. I didn't think 4-0, but sure enough, it ended up happening that way. But they got to have it tonight, GP. They do.
Yeah, they can't afford to go down 3-1. It's just simple. I mean, there are plenty of times in history, and many of them, frankly, when Washington was up 3-1,
you know, never end of it, yeah,
where a team has come back and won. But when the series between the two teams is this close, I mean, you can make the case that Carolina, clearly, through three games, has been the better team. But you can't really make the case that Washington is lopsidedly better. I think you could say they're every bit as good or whatever. But it's hard to beat a team three times in a row when that is the case. Carolina hasn't been able to in this series. Washington, you wouldn't think, would be able to. The two teams have played now a combined seven times this season, and nobody's won three consecutive games. So you don't want to be in that spot. If you can get even with a win tonight, they've answered all year long. You answer the bell one more time. Mm-hmm. It's 2-2, and then it's a best of three, and you've got home ice, and you're coming back from game five at home with a raucous atmosphere at Capital One Arena coming up later in the week. So you're right back where you need to be. But you got to get there with a win. And it's going to be pushing a boulder up a hill. It's a raucous atmosphere, right? It's going to be a lot of people. There's an electricity and a pizzazz in Raleigh and Carolina. It's a hard place to win. And you know that you got your work cut out for you. Nothing has come easily in this series. But we'll give you a full preview of game four. We'll look back to game three in just a few minutes. There's some other things going on today, though, in DC sports. You know, it has been a little while since the Wizards were relevant and a major talking point on this show. That'll change today. The NBA draft lottery is set for tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to find out at just after 7 East time this evening, who's got the number one pick, and is it the Wiz, who are tied for the best odds to get it? Obviously, there are some years where getting the number one overall pick means more. Last year, it didn't mean as much. Mm-hmm. We thought that going into the draft. We now know that that's true coming out of the draft, where the Wizards at number two got a better player than the team that won the lottery. This year, you are trying to win the lottery at number one so that you can get Cooper Flagg. And you've got the Jazz, the Wizards, and the Hornets, all with a 14% chance of winning the lottery. The Pelicans at 12.5%. The Sixers at about 10.5%. Your top five likely teams. But if you could go get Cooper Flagg at 1-1, and you could add him to Saar and Koulibaly and Carrington and George, this young group that's been put together, you don't even need to make the big splash right away. You're going to get better fast. Next year's draft's better than this one. One more bad year for the Wizards and a few more picks. You've kind of built this thing up pretty well, and you're maybe one big splash acquisition away from turning this whole thing around.
This is the point, right? So let me do it this way. Giannis Antetokounmpo seems like he might be exploring options to go and trade. It doesn't make sense for the Wizards to do that right now, because he'd just be trading one set of circumstances for guys that aren't ready to help him for another. It wouldn't make sense for them. He's 30. It wouldn't make sense for the team. The point is that it makes sense.
Be kind of fun, though.
I'd have a good time. I'd watch.
As but, someone who hasn't had the urge to go watch many yeah. Wizards games at the arena over the last couple of years, you know, a number two overall pick, let's say, or in this case, winning the lottery tonight with Flagg, and Giannis added to this group, or some version of it, you lose a player or two and a bunch of picks, I might want to go back out to the arena.
I'd like to see.
But you're right. What you're
I'd like to see
true.
The 7-foot Greek gentleman who can do everything on the basketball court. No, but here's what happens. With a Cooper Flagg, the young talent developing, guys that are 19, 20, 21 years old, you all of a sudden become like a Houston. Not quite Oklahoma City. It takes a few more years of building and striking gold and a guy like SGA. But when you're a Houston with, you know, Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Sengun, guys that aren't necessarily household names that become really, really good players under development, now all of a sudden you could be one of the teams that's a destination for a star who will look and go, hey, that group is good right now, but imagine them with me. That's a championship contender. That's the position you're trying to be in. You're building a nest. You be one of the cool kids. If you have Cooper Flagg, you get a couple national TV games. Instead of being an also-ran, you become one of the cool cities. You become a destination. You become a spot where you can strike when the iron is hot, both by accumulating draft picks and accumulating young talent. This is the way. This is the path. As painful and miserable as it is, and I get it. It's not fun to lose 70 games a year. I'm not telling you it is. But when you lose, it needs to be with a purpose. It can't be to win 31 or 32 games and get into that play-in game that they were so desperate to do for the last couple of seasons. You start this way, you do it this way, it would go a long way for them kind of getting back to relevance if they finish in the top couple. I know Cooper Flagg's the star. I think the second pick might afford a really good player, won't have the gravitas that a Flagg would. But the thing that all Wizards fans are afraid of, including myself, is you'll fall out of that top four entirely. 48% chance that it happens. Down as low as six, that would be kind of a gut punch after having gone through all this
stuff. It'd be a nightmare, and it would be typical of Wizards fandom to have to eat that.
Endure that, too, yeah.
You know, just swallow that bile down tonight. That would suck, but you know what? I trust this front office. They made the right pick in Koulibaly. They found Bub Carrington, and that looks like a win where they got him.
Yep.
They got Keshawn George late in the first round. It looks like a steal.
That's a win.
So even if you're picking there while the quality of the player isn't as good and the ceiling of the athlete you're adding is not at the same level, mm-hmm. I think they're going to do fine.
I do too. I trust this group implicitly. You're right.
Absolutely. They have hit more homers and doubles so far than the previous group did in 15 years or whatever. So I am in on this iteration of this front office. I think they're headed in the right direction. But tonight would just be an easy button for the turnaround. Tonight would be...
That's the way to put it.
Mario Kart or something, and you hit the mystery box.
You got the mushroom.
You speed up and go 100 miles an hour.
There we go.
And I spent a lot of time this weekend actually asking smarter basketball people than me about Cooper Flagg, and I feel so much better about what he is than even going into those conversations. It sounds like people really think this guy is going to be the real deal. Like when we've talked about him, my kind of take has been, I don't know how stellar offensively he'll ever be. Is this guy going to score 20 in the NBA? Is he, you know, more of a hustle guy who's going to be like 15, 5, and 5? I think basketball people really are enamored with his game.
It's an advanced game for an 18-year-old.
They think he's going to be like a legitimate number two on a championship team and maybe could be a 20-point, like 8-rebound, 7-assist guy in the next couple of years who plays hard defensively and gets in lanes. And he's also just – whoever gets him gets the gift of you get a media star. You get a marketing star. You get a super-powered chance to have people care. Well, who needs that more than this market right now? I mean, if there's such a thing ever as the NBA, like, guiding these number one picks in certain directions, you can make the case the Wizards and basketball in D.C., as dormant and awful as it has been, are more needy for a Cooper Flagg presence than any other major basketball market in America. They're just a non-factor. Nobody cares. Nobody is interested. Nobody goes to the games. Drafting Flagg, even before they turn this thing around a couple years from now, would immediately make them a story again.
Yeah, makes you marketable. Again, gives you primetime games. You're on TNT now because people want to see this. His game is, again, I think it's as good or better suited for someone to come into the league and get buckets right away. He's a willing defender. He's never going to be able to cover an elite wing, but very few people can do that, right? He's going to prevent match. He's going to provide matchup problems of his own. I think he's big enough to you know, there's a word that we don't use very often anymore, but post or bully ball, some of the smaller threes, some of the twos and threes in this ever-switching league. He'll be able to face up and shoot. He'll play a great pick-and-roll game. I think his offensive ceiling is pretty damned high. I don't know if he's the alpha on a championship team. And, you know, you never know with some of those guys. But there's some that come along.
Nobody has to know that now.
And that's, you know, and that's what I'm kinda saying? That's like, where I was going.
That's what we talk about on the Stephen A. Smith shows.
Right.
He's going to be a really good basketball player right away.
And that's the point.
The more talent you put around him, the better his game's going to get. And he'll absolutely be able to be one of the key players on a championship team eventually. And in the short term right now, Danny, the floor is people in your town care a lot more. All the major networks cover you a ton because the superstar that everybody loved in college is on your team. You benefit from that, like, Caitlin Clarke-y thing, whatever that media coverage is.
Yeah, there's juice behind
it. And he makes your team a lot better on the floor.
Yeah, all those things are correct. And you said it much quicker than I was doing. I was doing this meandering roundabout way to get there. But that's the point. He'll be 19 years old next year with upside that's still through the roof. A guy that was able to dominate the highest levels of college basketball as an 18-year-old, he was already NBA ready. Again, the versatility in his game, the mid-range type stuff, the ability to catch and shoot, the ability to score off the dribble, I think is coming. This is a really, really quality basketball player. Again, there's a couple at the top of this draft, but when you get into that kind of middle pack, there's nothing special there, but that's kind of where this group has made its bones, talking about Will Dawkins and company, where you find the Lucas Dorts of the world. You find the unorthodox, slightly different type guys. When talking about when Dawkins was in Oklahoma City, that's when you find your – I'm not sure exactly what position Bob Carrington plays. I also don't care. That's a winning basketball player. Same with Keshawn George and company. So this group is going to be well-stocked.
This draft, it was explained to me by a decision maker in the NBA, is a lot better than last year's draft.
I think that's unequivocal, yeah.
Next year's draft is the draft, like in years, way better than this year's draft. Mm-hmm. But this is a really good draft by all standards compared to last year. Next year's is the crazy one. So I would bank on the Wizards being bad again this coming season and trying to load up on picks because they feel like around the league, the depth in next year's draft is amazing and you want to be able to be a player, whether you're maneuvering the board with a lot of twos or however you've got to go about it. I don't think they're going to try to make the leap this year. The quality of next year's draft tells you as a rebuilding team, you probably shouldn't. But you're going to do okay no matter where you're picking. Ideally, you win the lottery tonight, you're set up, and this could be one of the bigger days for Wizards basketball in 15 or so years. Again, 7 o'clock tonight, the draft lottery. We will take you up to that. And if you want to come out and watch it with us, we're going to be here. It's going to take place right as the Caps game is starting. So we've got our Caps watch party at Caddy's in Bethesda, so you can come on by for not only the Caps tonight, but a little Wizards watch as well this evening. We're excited about that. The Commanders are in the news today for a few reasons, but we're still awaiting leaks. It's schedule week. It's now a week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is better than everybody else at marketing.
Yeah.
They had an announcement during the draft to announce when they would release the schedule. It was an announcement for an announcement. On this date, this week, midweek, we are going to release the NFL schedule. Who does that? Who comes out and has an announcement about the announcement?
Yeah.
The league is so smart, they do this. So
whatever that is, oh my, just hitting bombs.
Well, it's called making money, I think. But so every day this week on a different one of their parent networks, their you know, NBC, all their partners, I guess it's called.
Yeah, everybody's getting a little piece, right?
You're going to get to make a big announcement about your schedule, your slate that week, and the upcoming season. So today we found out via NBC that the Eagles and Cowboys are opening the year with the Thursday night football season opener. We already know that the next game on Friday, which is played internationally, sounds like it's going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So that was the Eagles game last year against the Packers. But on Thursday night, you always get the Super Bowl champions opening in their building, unfurling the banner, fans going crazy. The speculation was maybe Washington would open rematch of the NFC Championship game against Philly at the Link. It's not going to be the Commanders, though. It's going to be the Cowboys. And I got to tell you, I'm fine with that. As much as I love the budding rivalry with the Eagles, and I think that would have added a little juice, there's nothing wrong with not playing the best team in the NFC to open your season. And it's a huge follow-up year to the Renaissance campaign, you know, 1 year ago.
Exactly right. I mean, that opening week is so – I don't even know how to say this. It's so not telling of the way the rest of the year is going to go. We overreact to week one. I'm going to do it again this year, calling my shot. So will you. So will everybody that thinks and talks about football. The things we think we know get turned on their head. Sometimes a team that's good plays well, and then we go, see, we knew that. Sometimes a team we think is great ends up awful. Think of the New Orleans Saints. Put up 50-something a week through the first 2 weeks of the season and were a disaster the rest of the way. They were terrible. Who knew what went? So the first week of the season, I just don't feel like it's such a true telling. I don't want to play the best team on my schedule the first week of the season. Maybe I should want to do that because it's so fickle and bizarre. Maybe that's the time to get them.
That's a good point.
But I just it doesn't feel right to me because that one counts so much because it's a division game.
Yeah.
If I'm going to open up with a division game, look at the Giants, but not necessarily the damn Eagles, you know? But
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe you do want to play them in week one. Because it is weird and finicky, and nobody's really locked in yet and the best version of themselves. All you anti-preseason people have ruined week one football, where now it basically is the preseason.
It's kind of preseason part
and
two,
it looks way, the product is way worse and way down because we're not allowed to play anybody in August. But that's actually not a bad point. Should you just want to play Philly then rather than when they're rolling and got it all going in week eight or week nine? So who's your preference then? Like, I was thinking about this today for the 2025 Commanders opponents. Who would I most want to open with in a world where it can't be the Dolphins on the road because we know that that's happening, it sounds like, in Madrid in the middle of November. I was thinking maybe the Giants. Just get off to a 1-0 start against Russell Wilson in New York, possibly, yeah. Whether you're in the Meadowlands or, you know, you were hosting that game at home. Another of the opponents that I wouldn't have a problem with would be the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, again, that's not a situation where I'm guaranteeing victory, but I'm at home. I'm playing Vegas. First game with a new coach, new operation, Geno Smith at quarterback and a new offense. I just want to get off to that 1-0 start. There aren't that many cookies. It's not an easy schedule.
No layups,
necessarily.
Man.
Maybe Atlanta with week one for Michael Penix and, you know, taking the reins for the Falcons in Atlanta. There's no real juice to that. That screams 1 o'clock. What are you thinking for the week one game that would make you the happiest?
Yeah, so the happiest is that no juice. Let's us just watch it by
ourselves. So you'd be cool with the Atlanta 1 o'clock game.
All in favor of that. But yeah. I don't think the NFL is going to do that. They know what they got.
You can't waste Jaden Daniels.
This is going to be one of the seven primetime pieces, somehow, some way.
Commanders, Lions, Sunday Night Football.
It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels – because I know the Eagles are now – Wake and be eliminated. The Eagles are off the list. But you look at some of their marquee opponents in the Chiefs, Packers, even the Chargers to a degree, Minnesota coming off a 14-win season. Denver's a team on the rise, but to me, the marquee ones, it's Detroit, it's Green Bay, as I said, the national, and it's Kansas City. It feels like it's going to be one of those guys, maybe on Sunday Night Football or something like that.
What a day in DC sports. We're just getting started. We got a lot going on Grant and Danny. We're going to be at Caddy's in Bethesda all day and most of the night, so come on out and hang with us. We've got our show from 2 to 6:30 here live, and then we are watching the game with you here, 7 o'clock puck drop tonight in Raleigh. We're going to have a bunch of Caps fans out here, and we will be here until the game ends. So come on out and enjoy yourself. Get some food, some drinks, and some Caps fellowship. It's going to be a great time. Let's get into the game four matchup tonight against the Canes. And looking back to game three, what adjustments are needed? Who hasn't given the Caps enough in this series? We'll talk about all of that next on Grant and Danny from Bethesda. Caddy's on Cordell. You're listening to The Fan.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going up.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
.3 to go here in the last drop, likely. It is won by Carolina with Gostis Bear. It goes up in the air. It will fall at center. And Freddie Anderson has shut down the Capitals here on a lopsided game three victory. Final score, Carolina 4 and Washington nothing.
John Walton has heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, with you. We will be here live at Caddy's in Bethesda taking you up to Puck Drop on 106.7 The Fan tonight. Our live show until 6:30 here at Caddy's, and then we're watching the game out here in Bethesda, Caddy's on Cordell. 7 o'clock start in Raleigh tonight. It's a 2-1 series in favor of the Canes. You want to win this thing, probably got to get tonight. Get even 2 games apiece and then come on home for game 5 and try to get ahead for the first time in this series. But this is a lot like game 3 now, right? Or excuse me, game 2. Yep. You're down 1-0. You got to get even. And you were coming off of probably a worse performance, I would say. Not even probably for me. I know it was more lopsided on the scoreboard. But game 1 was much worse for me than game 3 was, and there was a lot of doubt about the matchup and how are you going to play this team, and they came out and they answered the bell in game 2. That was, of course, at home.
Yes.
With 20,000 people behind you. Now you got to replicate that and get up off the mat again, so to speak, in game 4, down 2-1, but you're doing it in Carolina. So this is the tallest order of the season. This is the biggest challenge for the Capitals all year long. Before we look ahead to tonight, let's just look back, because it was Saturday. We haven't been on the air. First things first, from the game on Saturday. Now, my synopsis was, and I want to see how much you agree, I thought the Caps in the first period did everything they needed to do. They came out on the road, and they played a simple, effective game. They actually dominated possession. They did some of the things the Canes had done
yes.
in D.C. They lived in Carolina's end. Mm-hmm. They got all the best scoring chances. High danger chances in that first period were 5-1. After those 20 minutes, despite being nervous all day long, because it's the playoffs and that's what I am.
Yeah.
I thought, well, damn, they got some things going. Carbs has a plan. It's working. The Canes look worse right now than they have at any point in the series. The problem was, and you kind of alluded to this in our first segment, they didn't score any goals.
They didn't score.
And so what should have been at least 2, probably 3 goals, you could convince me of a 4th, but unlikely, probably should have been a 2 or 3 goal first period. They had nothing to show for it. Frederick Anderson was the best he'd been all series in that first period. They come out in the second. And for the first 7, 8, 9 minutes, maybe more like 7, 8 minutes of the second period, it was kind of more of the same. They still tilted the ice. They had the offensive zone time. They had the shots. They had the first couple opportunities of the period. And still, you're looking up at the board with Zippy, and then something changed. I don't know what that something was, but for the last 30, 32 minutes, whatever it was, of that game, tale of two halves almost,
yeah,
it was game one-ish. I mean, the Hurricanes kind of did what they wanted. The Caps would still get some rushes, some chances, and not pot them. And they were down 2-0 going into the third. I thought with a power play to start the third, you get a goal, we got a hockey game. They didn't. Carolina soon scored thereafter, and the rest is history. So I didn't think it was nearly as bad as like the narrative online. You look at a 4-0 score. But the fact is, you had your chances. You didn't get them. You lit them off the hook, and then Carolina buried you.
I think that's the synopsis. That's what happened. Not converting when you've got the upper hand. Not converting when you've got that. And listen, that penalty kill is outstanding in Carolina. But what are we talking about? What time of year are we in? You're probably going to play another team if you get by this one with a good penalty kill or a hot goalie or whatever. When you don't take advantage of the time it's going good, it's going to go bad. And when it went bad for them, it got worse. It was leaky. It was that domination, that thing that I've been dreading here leading up to this entire series. And when you're getting the run of play, you're going, okay, maybe it's not going to stick. Had they gotten a goal or two, I think it would have just sort of changed the entire dynamic of that game. It didn't. Carolina, it just seemed like they knew it was a matter of time before they could impose their will. They did that, got the two in the second period, and then it was game chase time. So, yeah, I think it's a perfect synopsis.
We didn't pick goal scorers. We forgot to do our draft. So we every single show before the Caps game, mm-hmm. we go through the player to score a goal draft. And it was a Friday show. The game was the next day. We said we'll do it offline. And then we didn't do it before everyone was busy and living their lives. And the game started, and we're going, oh, no, we didn't do our cap to score a goal draft. So that was bad.
Turned out okay, I guess.
Nobody scored a goal. So the fact that we didn't do the draft, it didn't come back to haunt us like it should have.
Yeah, nothing hurt there.
What with nobody scoring a goal? Danny, let me ask you this. Who gets your Caps Elite Player of the Game? It's presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation for a lopsided Game 3 on the scoreboard.
Oof.
Let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service, complete and powerful solutions, ElitePowerAndEnergyCorp.com. We do one of these for every game, so I know they lost, but got to find somebody. Who'd you like?
I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois was active, had himself a couple penalty minutes, but was a neutral player in a game where the team gave up 4 goals, did not have a minus on the night, had a couple of shots on net as well. So I thought he was fine in a sea of not so good.
For me, this has easily been kind of, you just go to Logan Thompson, who's kept them in these games and been fantastic, and that's where you start. You can't do that for this game.
Not this one.
Thompson, for the first time in the playoffs, was not nearly as sharp and allowed, in my opinion, 2 goals that he absolutely shouldn't have. He did not have his traditional awesome performance. I'm between 2 guys, Tom Wilson or Matt Roy. Matt Roy's been great almost every single time out in these playoffs as their steadiest stay-at-home defenseman. 22 minutes TOI, 7 hits, 2 blocks. I thought he was really good, but I'll go Wilson. You know, Tom Wilson had 11 hits in the game. You want to talk about hitting everything that moved? 11 hits, 2 shots on goal. I loved Tom Wilson's performance. He's been their best player in this series. So I'll give him my elite player of the game for the Capitals, going back to a big loss in game 3, our elite player of the game presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation. So what adjustments tonight? What needs to look different for you?
That's a good one. Power play, I think it's got to look less predictable. It's got to look like that little bit of time when Ovi was out for that broken leg. Remember, he broke his leg this year. It's still damn near scored 50 goals because, again, the guy's incredible. But the time he was out, the power play kind of morphed into something else. I need more tweaking. I need more puck moving. You got to get these guys and punish them for aggressiveness. Because, again, Carolina's penalty kill is excellent, but they're not superhuman. There's got to be a little bit more, make the move, get them out of spots. Maybe it's a couple of times you throw a puck at the net, hope for a bit of a deflection, scrum in front, et cetera, just to get them off balance, make yourself less predictable. That's the first thing. You're going to have to take advantage of an opportunity, especially in a road game. I mean, to me, it sounds easier said, but whatever you were doing in that first period to get it out of your own end quickly and get that puck deep, major in that, right? You keep making their defensemen go play fetch, knock them into next week, maybe get yourself a turnover or two. And when you've got chances, you got to pot them. I mean, that's a big dud adjustment real quick. You know, like try to score more goals. I'll get right on that, Dad. But that, to me, what has to happen tonight, you got to take advantage of when you're better. Because there's going to be a time tonight where you're the better team.
Ferris Faluga wrote a column over the weekend about Alex Ovechkin being pointless in this series and not having a goal to this point in now three games. And while I think it's always really, really easy to just look at goals and assists and points to tell you if someone's having a good series or not, I understand the logic with Ovi, who is not only your team captain and not only the highest paid player on the team, so the expectations are just greater, and you know the crown means it's a little bit heavier on you. But in his case, his game is that second where he changes everything with a blast on the power play, or the goal when everything's kind of caving in around you, where now everything's okay because it's a 1-1 game or a 2-2 game, and he hasn't been able to do that. Now, he had a team-high 4 shots. I thought in the first period he was parked in front of the net on the shift where he got like 2 opportunities in a row, and the puck was bouncing on him. It was kind of unlucky. But you got to score one of those, and he didn't. It's just been one of those series where I didn't think this was a great matchup for him, because I saw someone describe it online as a skating series, not like a goal-scoring series.
Interesting.
And I think that that's actually a pretty good point. Like, if you notice, that whole line has been pretty quiet.
Yep.
Where's Dylan Strome? Dylan Strome had 9 points in 5 games against Montreal. Was one of the leaders in the NHL in points in the first round. He's got 1 point in 3 games, and haven't really noticed him. And unlike Ovi, he's not a shooter. Like, he's not leading the team with 4 shots. He's passing and at times maybe overpassing in the offensive zone. So I would say I need more out of Strome. I definitely need more out of Ovechkin. You know, everybody thinks if you don't call him out, you're a homer or something. My point with him is just there are ways he can affect the game without scoring a goal. And I think when you see him having shifts where he's hitting people, rattling the boards, when you see him on a power play getting so much attention that John Carlson's wide open on the backside and shoots into an empty net for a goal. Like, that's the Ovi effect. So I don't think it's been like he's a zero. I think there are 8 or 9 guys I could name that have had worse series. But if it's as simple as saying, listen, man, he makes all the money. He was the best goal scorer in the league per game, per shift, per minute this year, and he hasn't scored, I can't argue that. You need him to score goals to give you the feeling that he is delivering the goods. And if he's not doing that, then it's probably not enough.
Yeah, so, I think the way you'd phrase it is they've got 3 goals, really, through 3 games, non-empty net division. Goal scoring's at a premium. Your best goal scorer's got to score a goal. Like, I understand it's not always fair, but it's kind of like, hey, what's your job on the team? Home run hitter. Do you have any home runs? No. At a certain point, you got to do that.
Right.
Like, that's what you're getting paid
Why
to do.
Why do I pay you $9 million?
Yeah.
I pay you to score goals. And this year, you scored them at a rate nobody else did.
And it was awesome.
And in your career, you're the greatest that's ever done it.
Yep.
I think for Luga's take, which I found really interesting, was he looked at how many times this year in the regular season, Ovi went 3 games. And this is obviously when he was healthy and not injured.
Sure.
But where he had done what he's done here in this series now, right? Through 3 games, 0 goals, 0 assists, the number of times he went 3 straight games with no points in the regular season, 1. And so that's a pretty obvious takeaway. Like, this is not what he does. You've got to be more impactful. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an assist, I don't care if it's primary or secondary. Like, one time all year, he had a 3-game stretch like this. You got to give me more.
Yep. If you're going to keep playing. I mean, I think that's kind of the choice. If this was a series kind of like Montreal was, where he had his big game early, then Strome was taken over, then Wilson had a big game.
And think about Mangiapane, the difference, by the
potted
way.
One. Right, when it's like
game one, he scored 2 goals with the overtime game winner.
Yeah, when we're Oprah Winfrey-ing this thing, where you get a point and you get a goal, no one's sitting there going, we really need more from Ovechkin. When you've got 3 goals in 3 games, not empty net, now you're going, okay, where are my premium guys? Where are my offensive superstars? Where's the greatest goal scorer ever to live? Is it fair? Probably not exactly, but it's also the reality is – it's not unlimited time. It's not, you got another month to figure it out, or you got 3 weeks. This is a matter of right now or vacation time.
I do love the hatred for Tom Wilson and Raleigh. I had a buddy that went to the game that was texting me about all of the anti-Wilson signage and everything in the crowd. And before they walked in, you know, wearing their Wilson sweater, all the crap they were taking. Barry posted a picture. There's some really old theater, like maybe Arlington Draft House-y kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's the Rialto Theater there. And the You're a comedian. You would know. What's the sign on the front of a theater called?
The marquee.
The marquee.
The Jason marquee.
The Jason marquee says, all are welcome except Tom Wilson.
That's great.
J.P. Finley was saying he sat down at dinner and the waiter was complaining about Willie last night. It's my favorite thing in the world. Mm-hmm. When you're in enemy territory and
in
Tom Wilson just rent-free already. But he's played well. He just needs more guys to help him out. I can count on him having a good game tonight. But others like Strom, like Ovi, they got to get on the stat sheet at some point this evening. Game of the year for the Capitals, down 2-1, trying to get even in a best of seven. We'll be covering it throughout the show today on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Next, though, the Commanders had rookie minicamp this weekend. Some key headlines that came out of that. I want to discuss some of the observations that were made. And one of the players that took part who will instantly become a fan favorite. Alongside Danny Rue, I'm Grant Paulson. We're at Caddy's in Bethesda over on Cordell. We will be here until 6:30. So as you get out of the office, come on down and join us. It's a beautiful day. They've got a patio, open air. It's just absolutely perfect for eating your wings and drinking your beer. Tons of TVs in here as well. We'll be watching the games at Caddy's tonight right here on The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30.
From Bethesda!
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live from Caddy's on Cordell in Bethesda, we're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We are out and about and out of the studio today, which is fun. Getting ready for Caps hockey. Game 4 in Raleigh tonight. We'll be here for a watch party. And of course, all day long, live on the air. Also at 7 o'clock, the Wizards have an opportunity to get the number one pick in the NBA draft. The lottery's this evening, so we will find out once and for all where they're picking. And that is the subject of today's Grant and Danny, poll of the day online. You can go vote now at our 106.7 The Fan Twitter account presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Go to DCMetropolitanMoving.com. What are your expectations for tonight as the Wizards hope to get the number one overall pick in the draft lottery? And the options include getting number one. As long as we're in the top three, I'm happy. They're going to miss out on the top three narrowly, or they're going to get the worst possible pick, which is the Danny Ruye option, I believe.
Let me just get the worst possible pick clicked. There it is. Yeah. And the majority of Wizards fans who have made selections already know in their hearts 45.6% have correctly figured out, deduced, whatever the worst outcome is, we got that. If it's one ping pong ball away from Victor Wembanyama, we got that. If it's the year where you should be number one and it's a great year to be number one, you get the worst you can get. Or if it's the Kwame Brown year, that's the year you get number one. So, yeah, every Wizards fan knows to prepare for the worst, and then the worst happens.
Wasn't that bad when they got number one and took John Wall? I'd say that worked out pretty well.
That worked out great. All that had to happen was the owner had to perish. Abe Pollin had to pass away.
If you think that that's why it happened, I suppose.
And they gave a gift.
That they hit the lottery that year. But, I mean, it's always like the narrative works until the times it doesn't, and then we forget those kind of. But, obviously, I don't believe in the curse or whatever else Wizards fans do. So I'm going to vote. I'm going to cancel out Danny's vote. I'm going to say they're getting the number one overall pick tonight.
I will lose it.
It's Cooper Flag season, baby.
I will lose it. Now, so this is one of those things where, like, people can they could ask, are you serious? And I'm kind of serious. So I'm not making an official prediction, but here's my official prediction. You follow me? He's going to Utah. They've had an ownership change. They've been down in the dumps. They're one of the teams that they want to prop up that sort of part of the country, that marketplace. Utah had some
But by that standard, make sense of this for me, because everyone does like why wouldn't they want the Wizards to not be a dead franchise if that was really what this is?
Because they're not needed. They've never been.
It wouldn't be a good thing for the NBA to have a hotbed for basketball in the massive. Everyone tells me it's such an amazing basketball city, Washington D.C. One of the most powerful cities in the world, the number six media market. That wouldn't be a benefit to the association to make that a hotbed?
I think it would be, but I think in their minds it's a lost cause. It's too much work. Because it's we're over my lifetime pretty much. We've had a couple pickup years, whether it was Jordan coming back, they're on primetime a lot, whether it was the Gilbert Arenas Agent Zero time, we know that ended, or you know John Wall breaking himself at both ends to be an All-NBA player where they were a Kelly Olynyk away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in my lifetime. So, yeah, for the most part, it's been moribund joke, also ran cannon fodder, and the league has done just fine, kind of without them as part of it. But I think they miss having some of those Midwest regional teams be successful. And Utah was I don't want to say it was a crown jewel, but it's a very enthusiastic support for a long time.
Gabe Taylor was present at Commander's rookie minicamp this weekend. We've had him on the show. This is the brother of Sean Taylor, who just finished his collegiate playing career. Remember, we had him on after he had sent some tweets when the team had decided to retire Sean Taylor's jersey, and he came out and said initially that that wasn't the case, and he kind of broke some news on our show and seemed like a really, really good kid, though. Taylor was wearing number 26. That's the same college number that Sean Taylor wore at the University of Miami, so I thought that was some pretty cool symmetry. Gabe Taylor is not as big as Sean. Sean was 6'2", 230. Can't teach that, man.
Yeah.
Gabe Taylor, a safety as well, 5'10 and 190. His work obviously cut out for him, but he's going to have an entire fan base pulling for him. He said, coming through these doors, man, all the memories came rushing back. Went on to say they got the 21 jersey on the wall of the equipment room. I feel like it's something I've got to do and represent him. I had to take a moment to take a deep breath. It's been the Washington Redskins, the Commanders all my life. Hopefully I can put it on again, meaning get into wear that Taylor uniform. But Gabe Taylor wants to be here, and I think it would be one hell of a story if he was running around at training camp.
You imagine.
And at a position where they don't have that much depth, you know, ended up being a guy that was in the roster mix. That's what I'm hoping for.
I would love for it to happen. And listen, they're not doing a charity thing. They're not doing some sort of gimmick or whatever. If he can play, he'll be around. I mean, they're not in the business of turning away guys that that can help them, that fit what they're looking for in terms of mold, ability,
right,
desire, want to, et cetera.
It's not like he played baseball at Tennessee and they're converting him. He was a four-year player at Rice, was named the American Athletic Conference's Safety of the Year this past season.
Exactly.
He's got some football chops.
Indeed. And, of course, we know about the pedigree. So if he's able to, you know, make a practice squad or kind of be around for longer than, you know, just sort of a, hey, come see the novelty act. And I don't think that's what this is. But, yeah, I mean, who's not pulling for that guy?
It's a really easy story.
Yes, it is.
But all I'm asking for is a training camp op, and let's see where it gets us.
Let's
now,
see.
If he's not deserving of that, okay, as you said, then don't bring him to camp. But he seemed to be getting some favorable reviews from the staff, saying some nice things about him at the end of rookie minicamp. All right, next on Grant and Danny, NFL schedule slowly trickling out this week. We'll give you the update. Plus, some polling was done by the Washington Post on support for a new stadium downtown at the RFK site. I want to get into that with you. Caps Canes tonight, just after 7 o'clock here on The Fan. Of course, that is also when the NBA draft lottery is being held. Will the Wizards get the number one overall pick and the free path to Cooper Flagg? We will know in a little over 4 hours. Grant and Danny, live from Bethesda at Caddies on Cordell on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.